frozen caveman to modern society confuses me.
Perry is not the one frozen caveman. Modern society confuses me.
What's that?
The Wilcoxes are back from
New York.
New York.
Kids. High school kids.
Yeah. Had a great time. First Baptist high school kids?
Uh-huh.
Like a trip thing?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. That's what Aaron said.
We're still studying debt and self-image debt. And so let's go to Luke. Chapter 13. Verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, or the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first and there are first which shall be last. That's not taught up. This isn't taught very often anymore. The straight gate. What is the straight gate? And it has to do with the debt. The debt of the fall can't be brought into the kingdom. And therefore, the only way the kingdom can come in, you can come into the kingdom, is only he which came from eternity can return to eternity. So Christ alone is the door. And anything that you add on to him by your, as we've talked about so often lately, all these other opinions and ideas, da-di-da-di-da, they can't make it. Well, this is pretty, this is heavy. And so what I'm saying to you is the debt that you owe for self-image can't be paid. And so therefore, it's time to die. It's time to rid yourself of any kind of self-image debt whatsoever. Do you understand that? Light as a feather. You cannot take anything with you. Let's go back. Let's go to Matthew 7.
thinking that we die, but we don't just die, we die in Him. So it's a positional.
Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or ye workers of iniquity. That's a direct quote from the Psalms, but in the Psalms, iniquity is aven. It just means self-seeking. It just means what everybody does. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He doesn't even recognize. He doesn't even see. So my point to you about all these things about debt and generational debt and self-image debt and parental debt, it's just goofy. It just can never be used again as an excuse. It can never be used again as an excuse for what is really rebellion. Oh, I'm this way because mommy was that way or daddy was that way or... It matters not. Anybody have any debt they want to talk about? You don't want me to always pick on you by pointing out your debt, do you?
My sister came out of the hospital in England. I found out a couple weeks ago because her system shut down, and the doctors, she wasn't telling the doctors why. And she finally told him that she was bulimic, and so her pancreas had stopped working for a little bit, and her kidneys weren't functioning, and her liver and shit like that. And, you know, I remember I went over to the Martins because I kind of freaked out about it, just because I realized that I had held on to that for so long. You know, just, oh, my mom sent me to school with Dexedrine cubes when I was 7 years old for lunch, and... she wanted me to be a star and blah, 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 blah. Cried about it and everything. And then just realized that it was just pointless to, you know, there's no need for it.
Well, I mean, bulimia is a perfect picture, or any of the anorexia, because the self-image is so completely askewed that it has no basis in any kind of fact. And so but that's the same for the human race. I mean, our self-image, because we look from the bottom up, is so skewed that we define ourselves by comparison.
Constantly.
And so that's got to be gone. It's fruitless. It keeps you in bondage. It keeps you away from the glorious liberty of this mystery of God. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's look at a couple more. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. Two. Remember, we've talked many times about, you know, the scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by our senses, that'll never happen, number one, but by our senses, that's not happening. But in truth, it is, because the acts that they're doing are exactly perfect for what His will is. And so every person on the face of the earth, no matter what he's doing, his knee is bowed and his tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that sounds ridiculous. That sounds obscene. Well, it's even more ridiculous for me to tell you that the New Jerusalem is your only reality. And in this promised land, it is wherever you are, wherever your foot touches, it's perfect. It has every need that you can possibly have be met. There is no want. There is the light of the Lamb is lighting everything. There is no... And so it's all finished. Now, But when you look around in your natural mind and senses, you can't see it. No, that's really what we're about to read is about, is that you don't see what you have, and therefore you want what you don't have. But you already have everything, so there's... You just live in this constant state of, oh, this needs to happen and that needs to happen. And there's, you know, you can say, and I can preach about rest and being at peace and light as a feather, but internally, you're always at war. Does that communicate? And so that internal activity, because of what you see and how you compare, and that internal activity defines your religion. Not what you do outwardly, not what you say, but that's what God sees, is what's going on inside you. And he desires above all things that you experience this mystery of repentance, not to be repented of, so that you would know. Obviously, if you're seated in the mercy seat, that's the highest place in the promised land. There's no better place to be. And if you don't know this, then you're going to constantly walk as a victim of something. You're going to constantly see just as the Gentiles see. And so now let's see what Jeremiah said about this situation. Chapter 2. Remember, chapter 1 is about, of Jeremiah is, you know, he just got through saying, I have set thee this day over nations, kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Then he says, I can't speak because I'm a child, on and on and on. And then in verse 17 of chapter 1, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. In other words, have no investment in what their response to you is. You're speaking from a different order, a different place. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole earth, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now that's being said to all true believers. It's not some heroic deal. It's not for some special people, for some saint. Do you understand why I got this idea of saints? What that does is it causes more and more of this ranking crap. The word saint and holy is the word hagios. And you've heard me say it. If this salt shaker has salt in it, by definition it's holy, for it's accomplishing the purpose for which it was made. It has nothing to do with that, what anybody else thinks about it, whether it's a pretty little or a fat salt shaker or anything else. And no other salt shaker can possibly be above the salt shaker. There is no such thing as a saint the way we define it by the culture of the world. Oh, I'm Saint Thule, a saint. The Catholic Church has thousands of saints. And it's just, oh, now we're going to make somebody else a saint. Do you understand this? All right. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Now you understand what the two differences are? It's the house of Jacob and the house of Israel. It's Judah and Israel. The word Jew came from Judah. Judah is the two southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah. They had the responsibility. Judah had the responsibility for maintaining the temple. Benjamin had the responsibility for maintaining the temple. Judah had the responsibility for maintaining the bloodline. The 10 northern tribes were called Israel because it was separated into two kingdoms. And so the 10 northern tribes were dispersed. They're lost into history. And everybody in the universe that has some harebrained religion says, oh, we're the 10 tribes, we're one of the tribes of blah, blah, blah. And it's just goofy. But here, when Jeremiah is speaking, he might as well be speaking to the Jews and to the Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is only one that's saved. There's only one that can return to the king to eternity. Only he which came from eternity can return to eternity. Only he which came from the Father can return to the Father. The best that you can be is a vessel for that mystery. And that's that vessel for that mystery is called a friend of the bridegroom. We don't know what we will be. It doesn't appear what we shall be as a body. But we know that it is about this mystery of the bride. And we know each person is a member of that bride, each that has picked up the cross. But it's not about what we can see. Therefore, it's never our business who is saved and who isn't saved and blah, blah, blah. It is only our business to be faithful to what we see. Now, you may not see the same thing I do. I don't know. If you don't, I'm just kind of screwy for you to be here. But, I mean, this is it's pretty rough. This doesn't leave any wiggle room. What?
That picture of God sending Christ
into time and space. And then when he returns, he brings the bride back with him. It's just an incredible...
That's what we do when we celebrate. That's the picture of that. I don't want to go there, Dave. Okay. Thus saith, verse 6, or 5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and have become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. Now, that was the type. The reality, nothing foul can enter the kingdom. Because the New Jerusalem, the gate is so narrow, it's smaller than your eye can see. The gate is when time is no more. And the only thing that gives us any kind of dimension, that gives space dimension, is time. And once that seventh angel stands and said, the mystery of the God is completed, time shall be no more. That's what God wants in you. If this mystery of God is completed in you, if you understand, if you see, then you, the angel, can stand in you and say, the mystery is completed, time shall be no more. And that's the only place to speak from. All the other opinions and garbage and crap, it's just philosophy. What? You look like you've been hit with a brick.
Well, this is just real profound to me. Even the idea of the gate being smaller than I can see, that part of in you is so small that you can't perceive it, and yet it's the biggest thing there is.
Amen. All right. And I brought you into this pleasant, plentiful land. That is, you're already there. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But instead, you gain your sustenance from dust of the time and space. You gain your worth from all kinds of little crap instead of the blood of this mystery. The priest said not, where is the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not, which is an incredible, because the law was a philosophy. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know it was a revelation of Christ. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now, God and I were having this conversation, and he told me that blah, blah. No, you're not. You and God, it was Baal that you're talking to. Well, Oli, that's not fair. That's not, you can't say that.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, yes, I can. What? Not you. Him. You got a smirk.
I can't interpret it that way.
Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. And with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which profiteth doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Now, what is he saying?
Well,
It's the same thing that Paul said. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. They give breath to things and time and space, like politics, like opinions. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now that's all you're able to do with religion, with any kind of religion, with any kind of philosophy. It doesn't sustain. You have to go back for more. It's the same idea. People get hooked on going to rock concerts. And so it's the epinephrine, and it's all these things that are released by group, and it's just drug. And then people like Benny Hinn and all these others, they have these big meetings, and they go, oh, we feel the anointing here. No, you don't. Because if you felt it once, you'd never, ever, it would never leave you. But they're broken. You've hewn out these cisterns that are broken, that can hold no water. They certainly, but yet we try to keep everything. It's fountains of living water that flow through you, that have nothing to do with you. If you try to hold on to or keep anything, then it's polluted. Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. And the children of Noph and Tophanes have broken the crown of thy head. That just means the world. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, or in the way of the world, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Can you see the ridiculousness of self-image? When I was a little kid, I'd have given anything. I had red hair. It's not red anymore, but it was red then. I would have given anything not to have red hair, because I was teased constantly. And my ears were about the same size when I was a little kid as they are now. And so I was Dumbo and, you know, all of, yeah.
They were cruel to you.
Yeah, poor. I'm so, they really affected me, and I'm just, you know. And I went and got even with every one of them, but that's another story. But can you see the ridiculousness of how you look, or what your image of your being in any way is?
Well, that's what brought me here. My old job, that's all it depended on. And if you didn't look that way, they had no use for you. And it was just pointless.
We've had everybody from Miss America to many others that come through here that were, quote, unquote, beautiful people. They didn't last very long. course, they blamed it on me, but...
This is just so ironic that you paint a big black circle on your nose and then preach on self-image.
I didn't paint.
It's a great message for today.
Timing is everything. Thank you.
Okay, anybody have any, like, little hold-on-tos of self-image left? Anybody going to dye their beard?
It just reminded me of the thing about taking the used garments of the priest. Using it for a wick. And that's all a priest is a wick.
Amen. Think on these things. What? Take a big guy.
Is it longer work?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys, next time.
More? Oh, okay. Someone can get that.